Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you Family Sanctuary, a show that inspires living the gospel message in word and deed within our families. And now, Family Sanctuary, with hosts Mary Ann Jepson and Peggy Hartshorn.
Welcome to the Family Sanctuary, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. And I'm your host for today, Peggy Hartshorn, Chairman of the Board of Heartbeat International, that advances life-affirming pregnancy help around the world. And I've got a really interesting program for you today, one that is near and dear to my heart, because we're going to focus specifically for this program on actually the kind of work that we do in the pregnancy help world, in the world of pregnancy help. And that means the people who are offering their hands and feet to be Christ's hands and feet and to reach out to those who have a crisis pregnancy, who think that this pregnancy may be the end of the world. And what are they going to do? Who is going to help? And yet God has provided a wonderful network of people around the world, actually. But our story takes place here in the Diocese of Columbus in Columbus, Ohio. And my guest today to tell this really powerful and hopeful story, two people here with me today. One is Brenda Bixler, who is the nurse manager of the North Office of Pregnancy Decision Health Centers here in Columbus, Ohio, PDHC. Welcome, Brenda.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Brenda is a labor and delivery nurse. She was a nurse for 13 years in labor and delivery. And then I believe you stayed home and homeschooled your children for 11 years. Is that correct?
Right.
Wow. But you had an opportunity to get back to this wonderful experience and call on your life in terms of helping women with pregnancy when you saw a job opening at PDHC 5.5 years ago at our North office, and you became the nurse manager of that office. And as such, you oversee the ultrasounds there,
right,
and the client care that PDHC provides at our North office, which is on Cleveland Avenue.
That's right.
So thank you so much, Brenda, for being with us. And our other guest today, whose story is really the focus of what we want to share with you, is Kennedy Johnson. Welcome, Kennedy.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. And you brought your little boy, Rowan.
I did.
He's someplace else in the studio right now. Now, mm-hmm. If you hear any breakthroughs of little oohs and ahs and maybe a little bit of fussing, that might be mm-hmm. Rowan in the background. But we think he's okay for the time being, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So thank you, Kennedy, for joining us. Kennedy is from Columbus, Ohio, but you actually now live at Fort Knox, Kentucky.
I do.
And we'll tell a little bit about that story and what took you from Columbus to Fort Knox. But it's part of what God accomplishes, even in the midst of a story, a crisis that may seem like the end of the world. So it's a powerful story. Thank you, Kennedy, for being willing to share it with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So, Kennedy, you you are a beautiful young woman. I'm looking at you here. Beautiful smile, a lot of energy, enthusiasm. You were a high school student who had plans for college, right? You
yes.
were a student athlete. Tell me about your sports.
I did soccer, basketball, and I threw shot put in track and field.
Wow. And your mom was counting on you getting an athletic scholarship?
Yes.
You had a couple offers, I understand.
Yes.
And then you found yourself pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So when you found yourself pregnant, did you tell your mom right away? What happened?
I didn't tell her right away. I actually didn't tell her until I was about 7.5 months pregnant.
And that's when she actually kind of discovered it for herself, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So what was going on in your mind in not telling her? In fact, is it accurate to say you were kind of in denial about the pregnancy yourself?
Absolutely. I didn't want to believe that I had a newborn on the way. I wanted to focus on school. I wanted to focus on my sports. I'd been working so hard for so many years for those scholarships. And then to find out that I could be bringing new life into this world, it was very overwhelming and very scary.
So you just didn't tell anybody?
No, not at all.
Mm-hmm. And it may be hard for people to believe or understand that your mom didn't notice that you were pregnant, but we hear and see cases like that all the time in the pregnancy help world. How did you cover up the fact that you were pregnant?
Like I said, I was in sports all my life, so sucking it in and hoping for the best.
Your muscles, I'm sure, were very tight, right, and well-developed, so you didn't really show, mm-hmm, early on.
Right.
You wore kind of loose clothes, I imagine.
Mm-hmm. A lot of T-shirts and sweatpants.
Yeah. You know, interestingly, my husband and I started in our pro-life work by housing pregnant girls in our home.
Wow.
And one of the girls that we housed had the very same situation that you did. And it wasn't until her eighth month that her mother suspected that she might be pregnant. Mm-hmm. And so she came to our home and ended up actually making an adoption plan for her baby. And I know that ended up being an option you considered. We'll talk about that in a minute. But it's not unbelievable for me to understand that you were able to really camouflage that pregnancy. And even in your own mind, you weren't focusing in on the fact that you were going to have a lot of decisions to make.
Right.
Yeah. So when you ended up, actually, I believe your mom finally recognized, she saw what they now call the baby bump.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And she kind of panicked.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Correct.
So what was she thinking at that point?
She didn't know how we were going to take in a newborn, afford diapers, wipes. Basically, our house was already chaotic. My parents were divorcing at the time. So we had a lot going on ourselves. And then to find out that I was pregnant, I think it just sent her into a complete whirlwind.
And she's probably thinking, how are you going to go to school? What's going to happen to your scholarships?
Right.
Yeah. So she actually, of course, at that point, neither one of you knew quite how far along you were. But your mom is thinking that in a panic, and it's so understandable, that abortion might be your only option.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what happened then? You ended up calling PDHC, finding our hotline?
Yeah, we did. We actually had went through a couple people, and sadly, we were rudely turned away because I was so far along and people saw me as a risk factor. So it was very hard to find someone that would actually accept me and accept Rowan at the time. So then we finally called one in Columbus because we had recently moved to the area. And so we were comfortable going to see someone up there. So that's when we found PDHC and Miss Brenda.
Yay, God. And nothing is a coincidence. We call it a God incident.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Absolutely.
So you found PDHC and Miss Brenda. And that's one of the things I love about your story. Your story is not just about you and Rowan. It's always about Miss Brenda.
It's always about Miss Brenda.
And sometimes in the pregnancy help world, we say the best alternative to abortion is another person.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You need a person standing beside you along the way to help you cope with, well, for in a pregnancy, you've always got a lot of hormonal changes and ups and downs. Yeah. And you need someone helping with what's happening physically, but emotionally and spiritually as well. And I just thank God for the existence of the pregnancy help movement and so many nurses, medical people, and volunteers, mm-hmm, of all different walks of life who are involved. Let me kind of turn it over to Miss Brenda for a minute. Miss Brenda is here. So tell us about when you first met Kennedy and her mother.
So first, I have to say I was the one who was blessed to be partnered in this with Kennedy, just because I happened to be the person that was there that day. But I know all of our volunteers, you know, this is repeated over and over, you know, with others. When Kennedy came in with her mom, she came in, we go through our protocol with, you know, starting with a pregnancy test, and then we followed that up with an ultrasound that day to find out just how far she was, because we really didn't know. And she, you know, I think she had an idea that she was, you know, further along. And so when we did the ultrasound, it was more mom. You know, I remember her mom being the one who really, truly was in shock. And mm-hmm. Truly was struggling with the decision of what, you know, oh my goodness, what are we dealing with here?
Mm-hmm. How can we ever have a baby? How can Kennedy's plans be interrupted? These scholarships she was
right.
being offered, And of course, as you mentioned, Kennedy, your mom was in the middle of a divorce. So
yes,
she herself is in trauma for lots of reasons.
A lot of stressors. Mm-hmm. And so when we saw that she was as far along as she was, you know, some of the initial feelings about, you know, are we going to continue with this pregnancy were really kind of changed at that point. And we had to then, you know,
How far
Let's
along was she, by
breath.
The way?
She was about 32 weeks, I believe, about 32 weeks. So it was, okay, let's take a big deep breath here. Let's now step forward, you know, and look at the other things that, you know, we can consider, which were at that point adoption or parenting. And at that point, it really became very important to get into prenatal care. And we were able to pass on a lot of resources, just a list that we give all of our clients of the medical, the clinics and the doctor's offices and some that accept different insurances. And she took that with her that day and started going through that list. And I think still struggled with finding, because of how far along she was, finding someone that would take her into their care. So,
and as a medical person, Brenda, maybe our audience wouldn't understand, why would a doctor not want to take a girl, a client, that far into her pregnancy?
And that's because the further into the pregnancy that, you know, someone is, the higher the risk in not knowing just how healthy that pregnancy is, you know, what they're dealing with at that point, because there's less time, of course, to determine those things. To some of the tests that are run have to be run earlier in the pregnancy, those kinds of things. So when they're coming in later, you know, it is a bigger risk that they're taking.
Mm-hmm. And I might mention, for some who don't know, there have been some court cases of what they even call wrongful birth. Doctors have been charged and found guilty of cases of wrongful birth if, for instance, a child is born with handicaps, fetal defects, so-called, that weren't diagnosed during the pregnancy, and that mother was not given the option of having an abortion. It's hard to believe.
It is hard to believe, yeah.
But because of malpractice, many physicians don't want to take a person who has not had prenatal care when she comes in that late in her pregnancy. Yeah.
Right. So at that point, she and her mom went through that list. They were having trouble. And then she called back. And I was able to then, at that point, make a couple calls myself. And we have a wonderful medical director who's been very gracious at times when we run into issues like this. And his practice was willing to take Kennedy in and provide that care. So that was a real blessing, and she was able to kind of go forward and breathe that sigh of relief, you know, just
wonderful.
That she's now
she was in good care. Medical mm-hmm. care. And, you know, that is one of the purposes of pregnancy help. Of course, it's not just to help women in that crisis of making the decision. Am I going to have an abortion? Am I going to carry this child to term? And then, of course, what are my plans after that? Is it single parenting? Parenting through choosing an adoptive couple or an adoption plan or even marriage. But part of the goal of the pregnancy help movement is to make sure that every woman has a healthy pregnancy and a healthy baby if we can provide that kind of help and support to get you there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's a beautiful example of not only did Miss Brenda help you through that crisis of what am I going to do with this so-called pregnancy. And of course, abortion was ruled out because of how far along you were. Although we might mention that abortion is still legal in the United States throughout the 9 months of the pregnancy. The only abortion procedure that has ever been outlawed is what is called partial birth abortion. But sad to say, there are still some places where people can go in their third trimester and actually have an abortion. I'm so glad that in the case of you and your mom, Kennedy, once you saw, and I'm sure seeing on the ultrasound, the development of Rowan at that point, abortion probably seemed unthinkable.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's continue with the story. So you got you were able to get Kennedy into some prenatal care.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point then, Kennedy, how were you looking at your options or your choices at that point?
Once I got my prenatal care and I actually got to see someone and see Rowan, see that he had 10 fingers and 10 toes and he was a boy, it was really exciting. I think at that point I was okay with parenting, and I knew that if I had this little boy, that I was going to be the best mom that I could be to him.
That's wonderful. Now, if you just joined our program, I want to let you know that our guests today are Brenda Bixler, who is a nurse, the nurse manager of the PDHC North Office Pregnancy Decision Health Centers here in Columbus, part of the Life Affirming Pregnancy Help Movement, and one of the PDHC clients, Kennedy Johnson, whose wonderful little boy, Rowan, is here with us in the studio today, although not right here in this room.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we could, how old is Rowan now, Kennedy?
Rowan just turned 18 months, and he is just as active and busy as ever.
That's wonderful. We're so happy. He's just darling. I wish you could all see him. But let's continue with the story. So you began to be at peace, and your mother as well, about you parenting. But let's talk about the father of the child. I think you told me, Kennedy, that during the pregnancy, you and the father of the child, Charles,
mm-hmm.
Charles Johnson,
right.
had broken up.
Right, we did.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So when he saw Rowan, though, what happened after Rowan was born? He comes to visit you. He sees his son. What happened at that point?
I took him down to Fort Knox, and Charles got to meet Rowan for the
first time. Because Charles had already enlisted in the Army at that point.
Right.
And mm-hmm. he was stationed at Fort Knox.
Yes. So he got to meet Rowan. He was a month old. And after we had left that visit, he just told me that he was absolutely in love with Rowan, and he just wanted to see if we could have any type of relationship again and become a family. So we went to some counseling, did what we needed to do, and basically have been together ever since.
Wow. And when were you married?
I got married last March, so we're coming up on a year.
Wonderful. Your anniversary's coming up. So, and sometimes this does happen, that when the fathers of the children that we see in our pregnancy help centers meet their sons or daughters, and sometimes that's through the ultrasound even before
right.
The baby's born. Sometimes it's after, and often it's soon after the birth. You know, studies show that that's the time when fathers, that fatherhood instinct that God gave them mm-hmm. is most likely to come to the fore. And it's just such a wonderful thing that his fatherhood instincts, his love for you came to the fore, and he was willing to take that responsibility and said, let's try to make a family.
Yes.
And then help and counseling was available. You did get married, and now you are living also with Rowan at Fort Knox with your husband, Charles.
Yes.
And what are you doing there besides parenting this beautiful little baby?
I'm a nanny, so I help out a lot of maybe single moms or moms that just aren't very okay with daycares, anything like that, maybe a little bit uncomfortable with something like that. So they send them to me. We take good care of them. We play. Rowan has a lot of new friends, and he loves that. That's his favorite part about it.
That's wonderful. And what about your goals about college? What's happened there?
I actually just enrolled in college. I start at the end of March at University of Phoenix online. So I'm really excited. I'm trying a new major, so fingers crossed this goes good.
Congratulations. We'll pray for you. So, Brenda, tell us the connection between Miss Brenda and Kennedy did not stop after that ultrasound. How did that develop as you see it?
No, thankfully, Kennedy was so good about getting just back in touch. She sent pictures. Mm-hmm. It was a treat for all of us to get to see Rowan actually growing with pictures that she would send. So one shortly after he was born, and then another one, he was dressed up in a little costume. It was so cute. Woody.
Yeah, he's Woody. Woody.
And we had that up. We still do. I have it up in my office. We all look at that. And they came back a couple of times. One time I missed them, and they came back again graciously and brought Rowan in for me to see, and they've been very good about giving back. They have brought in clothes that he's grown out of and things just to still be involved and to give back to PDHC. And then, you know, I just went from there. We've stayed in touch, and I even got invited to his first birthday party. So my husband and I went and celebrated Rowan's first birthday with her family, and that was really precious. So.
That's great. And, of course, today, Kennedy and Rowan are back to visit your mom here in Columbus, so we were able to get you to come in and tell your story, which is really wonderful. And when you come back, you can see Miss Brenda.
Always, yeah. We always try to squeeze in our time. It's always close, but shoot her a text at least to tell her that we're thinking about her. So
that's wonderful. And I think your story, Brenda, you said now, you don't have to be a nurse to being a nurse was not your major qualification in forming this relationship with Kennedy, right?
No, not at all. It just simply, I think I can speak for most everyone who's involved at PDHC. We're there because we're called in some way. And we are there, as you mentioned at the start, to be God's hands and feet. We recognize that we are all in this together. We all come from different places and have different stories to tell and different backgrounds. And
no one's life has been perfect. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I think most of us can relate more than our clients realize to where they're coming from. You know, we often say, boy, I could have been that person sitting mm-hmm. across the room from me. Mm-hmm. And so for that reason, you know, I think of God's example, you know, just there are a few verses that came to mind as I was thinking about this today. And at Matthew 11:28 is one of those verses. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Excuse me. That verse makes me think about the fact that people come in and they're coming in a crisis situation and we're meant to be there to give them a pause, to say, mm-hmm. hey, you know, it's okay. We're here to walk with you through this and provide whatever we can as a support, no matter, you know, what the decision, what where they're coming from in a non-judgmental way. Mm-hmm. So when, you know, I see Kennedy's story unfold, it's just such a blessing, you know, because it's that those verses being played out, you know.
Come to me, those of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And of course, like we like to say in pregnancy help, we are God's only hands and feet in this world. You know, he works through people. And one of the things I think is so important, Kennedy and Brenda as well, Kennedy, you may have an opportunity sometime to be Jesus' hands and feet for another woman who may be in a crisis pregnancy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I hope God will use you in that way. But anyone, any one of us can step alongside a person in a crisis. And first of all, listen and just be there, be loving and caring and listening, and then offer that word of help and hope. You don't have to do this alone.
Right.
You know, if I can't help you personally, we will find help. And you can find that, of course, through the pregnancy help part of the movement. Well, Brenda, there were some other, I know, some beautiful verses that had come to your mind you were sharing with me a little while ago. What else was on your heart about how God calls us and equips us to do this work?
I look at Kennedy's situation and her example, and Philippians 1:6 comes to mind too. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You know, I see, just like you said, that working out in her life, that he is going to bring this, you know, this full circle, and mm-hmm. she's giving back already.
Yes.
And, you know, I was flipping through the radio stations the other day, and I heard somebody say, I'm probably coming from secular side, but let your mess be your message. You know, I think so many people come into this feeling like, I don't know how to redeem this. This is such a crisis. It's such a tough spot. And yet God has a way of working those things out, you know, to work something that's meant for bad, mm-hmm. for good.
And even those who have had abortions, who have chosen abortion in that panic, in that distress. We see at PDHC and many other wonderful abortion recovery programs that God even brings good from
that's right. That's absolutely right. I know you had Peggy Dieter on, you know, recently, and just how God brings all of it together for good, and able to turn that around and to help women who have suffered so tremendously through, you know, other choices that have been made, and none of it is without the ability to be redeemed and to make something good come from it. So
right, absolutely, and what a wonderful calling, Brenda. That, and thank you for saying yes, and for all those who volunteer in the pregnancy help movement. That you're allowing God to use you and your stories and your background to reach out to people like Kennedy. Kennedy, I'm so thankful that you could be with us today and tell your story and bring in Rowan and how you are giving back. That's absolutely beautiful. Yeah, through bringing in your clothes back to the baby clothes back to PDHC, keeping in contact with Miss Brenda, and that encourages her and everyone who sees those pictures.
Absolutely.
And then now reaching out to some of those moms at Fort Knox who need help and support with their children. So it is beautiful to see how God redeems and uses all of us, as imperfect as we are, to bring him to the hurting world, to bring help and hope. Thank you so much for telling your stories.
Thank you.
And you have been listening to The Family Sanctuary on AM 820 St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Peggy Hartshorn with Heartbeat International, your host for today. Please listen to archives of our program at stgabrielradio.com. And our program is broadcast every Monday at 12:30 and at 2 o'clock again on Sundays. So please join us again to strengthen our families and make them sanctuaries of life as God intended.
Family Sanctuary is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Family Sanctuary with Mary Ann Jepson and Peggy Hartshorn are available at stgabrielradio.com.